What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd.
We're legitimately having like a heated argument about game two off air, delaying our start. It's like, we should just do this.
Probably.
On the radio.
It's Jamie Dodd, my co-host, Canucks insider Thomas Drance, who also covers the team at The Athletic. Canucks Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. We are coming to you live from the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. What's going on, Chancer?
Oh, sorry. I couldn't hear you. It was blocked. Whatever you were saying, it was blocked. Probably by Ryan McDonough, I'd imagine.
It either blocked or missed your ears.
Hey, I'm going to give you...
careened off the walls of the studio.
I want to give you credit, however, as if I'm a optimistic Canucks fan reacting to Game 2, for the attempt.
All right.
Look, that was an unfortunate come down after Game 1. Like, yesterday was like...
That, I was like, oh, this is what Canucks playoff hockey feels like. But now I remember...
It feels like both. The highs, the lows. You know, yesterday was hard, I think, for Canucks fans. Like, even about midway through the game at one point, I was like, man, this group of players doesn't deserve this. I literally said that out loud because I was thinking about it to myself. And Frank Saravalli looked over at me and said, Drance, have you grown a heart? And I was like, no. Look, we'll get into it in the whiteboard, yep. But that was a tough day for Canucks fans. I'm sure a tough day for the team. Got to put it behind you. Got to park it. Game 3 on Friday in Nashville.
All right, so here's what's going on today. We're on 11-2 as we are throughout the playoffs for the Canucks. Drance will be taking off at 1. He's got to make that that travel that he's been looking forward to Nashville for games 3 and 4. We'll have Jason Buchla on at 11:30. We'll have the crossover just after noon with Donnie and Dolly, and Brendan Batchelor will join me at 1 o'clock in the final hour of the show. Before we do any of that, let's get into the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks. For today, April 24th, headlines, Canucks lose 4-1 as Nashville ties the series at one game each as it shifts to Nashville for games 3 and 4.
Where to begin about that game? Where do you want to begin?
We said it already, but just deeply frustrating. Just like a frustrating game to watch. I think that was the word. We used the word like catharsis or release for game one. The word of the day for game two was frustrating.
It was a frustrating game. The Nashville Predators frustrated the Vancouver Canucks, and make no mistake, they did. Like, they're making some smart tactical choices, and the Canucks need to react better than they did last night, like across the board. I know there's a lot of people pointing the finger at one individual player, but let's be honest, it was well beyond one individual player struggling. Yeah, obviously.
Get into it. Don't worry.
And he had a bad game. Like, don't get me wrong. He had a bad game. But if you're, I don't know, this market's like insistence on glomming on to one goat at a time.
There's a lot of negativity to go around, guys.
Do you remember Roberto Luongo, Thomas?
I do, and I always had his back, too, and guess where he is? In the Hall of Fame. Anyway, the fact is that there was a lot of, like, mental departures from so much of what has made this team successful all season, I thought. Like, I thought this team, for the first time, you know, in an awfully long time, looked like they were pressing too hard.
Mm-hmm.
It looked to me like various stars were trying to do too much. It looked like the Predators got them significantly off their game. And I think their defensive game plan, while it's not pretty, is working to frustrate the Canucks. Like, the Canucks need to find answers. They didn't in that game. And I think it became a self-fulfilling prophecy where they got frustrated and became less than the sum of their parts, in part as a result of the way that the Predators were fronting shots and making sure nothing hit the net. It was tough. It was just a poor performance from the Vancouver Canucks, period.
It absolutely was. And So I think this is where I think like multiple things can be true. The Canucks did not play well last night, and you know, people are going to point to the shot attempts and all that, but like, you got to execute, right? You got to hit the net.
No, just
it's
watch
great
the game.
To have shot attempts, but you got to hit the net. You got to make the most of what you're doing out there.
So everyone knows how much I care about the underlying mm-hmm. data, but you know why I care about the underlying data? Because it tends to be what matters most and what shows up now, right? Like, now we're in the playoffs. And the Canucks didn't have a good process game. Like, when we talk about a team controlling play, a good process, the Canucks didn't have a good process game, right? They were extremely wasteful in possession in the first. 5 minutes of power play ice time, didn't get mm-hmm. a single shot on goal in the first period, although they did set up that glorious Pettersson chance, which just missed in the waning moments of the first. You come out of the first with four shots each. It's like, I don't care how many attempts you get. If only four of them are directed on net, you're not unlucky. Like, the amount of conversation that's online about how the Canucks were unlucky when they directed fewer than 20 shots on net.
No, they
got
they got to execute way better.
Like, that's not you don't get to say you're unlucky when you score once on 18 shots. You got to be unlucky cuz you like, oh, we scored once on 29 and a lot of them were high quality.
Yeah, we got goalied.
We got goalied. The Canucks didn't even get goalied last night. They got McDonough'd. They got Yossied. You know, like, and then I thought the Predators absolutely, and I see no conversation about this tonight, today, as I'm sort of perusing online and the various online Canucks spaces that I like to lurk. No one's talking about how the Predators won this game in the second period. Like, the Predators took it to the Canucks in the second period. Philip Forsberg puts the Canucks third pair in the spin cycle and Elias Lindholm all alone in front. Which chance would you rather have? Forsberg with four paces all alone in front, or Pettersson side of the net with the yawning cage?
Pettersson side of the net with the yawning cage.
You think so?
Yes.
It's pretty close, but yeah, like, you're probably right.
That's a wicked finish by Forsberg, and Pettersson did not need to have a wicked finish.
So it was probably, you know what I mean? That was probably the second best scoring chance in the game then, and then the third best scoring chance in the game was their third goal. And the third goal for me is the one where you could tell the Canucks' best players were out of sorts, mm-hmm. right? Because it's one of those McCarron versus JT Miller shifts, and the Nashville fourth line, which played well, pins Vancouver's top line for about 45 seconds. Play transitions the other way. The Canucks are down 2-0. Does the first line change? Does the first pair change?
No.
No! They spent another 45 seconds in the offensive end of the rink. And by the way, they generated a quality scoring chance, so it's not like it was a completely wasted shift or like completely bad instincts. It's just not how this team has won games. Like, this team has not won games sort of trying to eat the elephant all at once, to use a talkatism,
mm-hmm.
right? To try and win the whole game on one shift, which was what they tried to do.
And I think that sequence really sums up kind of how I felt about the game last night.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a tricky thing here. Because I completely agree. The Canucks did not get unlucky. They were way too wasteful. Having said that, like, Nashville didn't make them skip that line change. You know what I mean? Nashville didn't force them to stay on the ice too long and end up going away and you know, making a turnover the other way.
No, but what Nashville did was, when the puck got turned over, quick shot from a dangerous area. DeSmith kicks out the rebound. There's two Canucks players who should beat Sissons to that rebound. Like, at the end of the day, that third goal's not on DeSmith. Like, his
job. Oh, no, I agree.
His job, even
I agree.
Well above controlling the rebound, is make the initial shot, because it's a rush wrist shot from a dangerous location.
But my point is, the Canucks shot themselves in the foot in a variety of ways,
absolutely.
Right? Not just missing the net, but doing a whole bunch of other things. But I didn't see anything tactically from Nashville that made me think the Canucks couldn't hang in that game. Like, if the Canucks had played their game, that game was there. That game was there for them. Now, they were in their heads. They got lost. Absolutely.
The Canucks could hang in that game physically and, like, as a hockey team. The Canucks did not hang in that game in terms of playing like they believed they could win. Like, Nashville got them off their game, pressed their advantage, and just sort of kept going with that. And they were like, they absolutely contributed to the frustration that the Canucks felt and dealt with all
game
long.
Look, you give them credit for the shot blocking and, like, the defensive game plan and sticking to it. 100% you do.
And the extra shots.
But I think that's
that they managed to get in.
I think that's a different game. And I'm We'll talk more about Pettersson, but I think that's a very different game if Pettersson hits that open net going into the second period. Very different game.
Well, sure. It's also a different game if the Canucks were an NBA team. Like, that's not what happened,
Jamie. Wait, what?
So Pettersson misses the empty net. Did the Canucks come out hungry and dominate the first 5 minutes
of
the second?
And again,
no,
that's my point. The Canucks cost themselves. They should have done that. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right that they should have done that. But I didn't see it as like.
But it's like saying that game one is a different game if Josi doesn't hit the crossbar.
Sure.
No, but why would we say that? Who cares?
But did you think Nashville played well in game one? Yes, right? Like sometimes
I think both teams have played well this series.
See, like, I would say both teams played well in game one. I wasn't crazy about either team's game last night.
Oh, I thought game two was fascinating.
Sure, it was fascinating.
I thought it was well played for the most part.
Not by the Canucks. No, it wasn't.
It wasn't well executed, but they played hard. They controlled.
Oh, okay, that's different. They tried hard, for sure, but they didn't play well.
They did a lot of the stuff that they've done all year that's worked. Like, they got a lot of what they... There's not a big difference between what happened in the third period of the first sort of 10 minutes of the third period of game one and what happened last night. It's just that the Canucks didn't score for a longer period of time. Like, it's just that the Canucks didn't get the point shot goal, right? The puck didn't deflect off of Suter and into the net. The puck deflected off Roman Josi's knee and out of the zone. Like, that's it. The difference is result, not process. The Canucks did the exact same. I thought the dynamic in game two, with the exception of the fact that Nashville controlled game one from pace perspective in a different way, the entirety of game two was played at sort of the Canucks' preferred tempo. I honestly didn't think there was a huge gap in quality of play. It's just the excitement of the building.
I thought the Canucks pressed way more and were way more in their heads in game two. Like, I thought you could definitely, and I don't think, I get it. It's always hindsight bias, right? Because they came back and won game one. Yeah. But I think they were way more patient.
They were way more patient.
To be fair, they were only down one goal. So it's easier to be patient in that scenario than when they were, you know, running around down three in the third period. But, like, I felt they looked much more shook.
Yeah.
Than they did in game one at any point.
I think they looked a lot less confident. And that's sort of the danger, I think, for the Canucks in this series now. It's not the danger of Nashville's shot blocking system, although we'll get back into that, or the way that they've approached Vancouver on a variety of fronts, tactically. I think they've made some really smart choices. I think the Canucks have made some solidly smart choices. I think both of these teams are extremely well prepared.
I'll agree with that. I think Andrew Burnett's a really good coach. I think Rick Tocchet's a really good coach. They're probably going to be 1-2 in the Jack Adams. They're really good coaches.
For a reason, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think Nashville's been, like, really smart about jumping. Like, the Kiefer Sherwood play where he reads the Canucks set off the draw.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the first time they jumped that passing lane to cut off the low high pass or the half wall to high pass. Like, they did that multiple times. We've seen a lot of Canucks faceoff wins that Nashville's, like, jumping, knowing what they're trying to do. Like, his team's drilled well drilled, and it's been impressive to watch. The Canucks need to counter it. The DeSmith factor in this game, I think, is worth mentioning because, you know, the
for sure
Predators' first goal. How funny is hockey where Beauvillier gets robbed on that glorious chance in game one and then scores like one of the ugliest goals of the playoffs, you know, in the second game. And it's just like, you kind of get what you deserve, even if it doesn't feel like it in various moments, right? Like, Beauvillier absolutely deserved a game opening goal in the first 5 minutes of one of the games. It's just that he probably got it in the wrong one.
Yeah, and just in terms of bad omens, that opening goal with the chant going up, it's like, oh my gosh.
Rogers Arena faithful chanting, let's go Casey, like trying to fire up and support DeSmith coming into a tough spot with Demko sort of pretty clearly at this point ruled out for the series.
Yes.
I mean, just painful. And you know, it just felt like the Canucks struggled to manufacture their usual confidence. Like, this Canucks team usually plays like they're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't feel like they played like they thought they were going to win last night. And I thought it, like, bled into some bad habits, some star players sort of, you know, trying to take the Predators, like, 3-on-1. You know, some of those turnovers from just inside the blue line. Long shifts trying to score in a 2-0 game. Like, all of these habits that this team had moved by sort of came to bear and shaped the outcome, which is why, you know, like, I didn't think the Canucks were shy in the game. I thought they competed hard. I liked parts of their game. But I'm not looking at their shot attempts in the third and saying anything like they dominated possession.
You can,
like, it fundamentally was not a good.
There's a more nuanced conversation to be had about the performance than just that.
It was not a good process.
Because there's
game
two extremes. There's one where it's like they were bums from the, like, oh, they played like garbage. And then the other one is like, oh, look at other shot attempts. They were played so well in that. I think it's a much more nuanced conversation than that.
So like we have a texter. We win that game 80% of the time. Created way more chances than Nashville. No! The Canucks lose that game 100% of the time. 100% of the time.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah, well, you're right.
But at least not go wild.
But
here.
At least eight. If you go into a game and you get four shots on goal on three power play opportunities in the first period, right? And end the first period with four shots on goal. Like, I don't care that Pettersson missed, and you're like, man, it's a different game if Pettersson. They had four shots on goal. You're not unlucky when you fail to score in a period where you direct four shots on net. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know who needs to hear this. Generate 12 and we'll talk. And then in the second period, the Predators come out and flatten them for 5 minutes to open the second period. Flatten them. Significantly outchance them. At the time that the Predators scored their 3-0 goal, the Predators had an edge in chances, expected goals, whatever you prefer. 5-3 was my count at 5-on-5. So the Canucks didn't massively outchance the Predators, until it was 3-0.
Yeah, until it was 3-0.
And how much credit do you get for outchancing a team when you're down 3 and never get to within one goal?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot.
Okay, I want to talk a little more about DeSmith, and I want to talk a little bit more about the power play here. So DeSmith, it's the kind of thing where I don't know if you look at any of the three goals and think like, oh, that was really Casey DeSmith's fault.
The first one.
That's still like, yes, I agree with you. He's way out over to the side.
It's a brutal bounce. It's a brutal bounce, but he overplayed the point shot and overplayed it too early. It was more a timing error than it was like a save selection error. But yeah, I mean, that's a meaningful goalie mistake, but also a gratuitous bounce against.
But having said that, it's one of those games where you know, you don't necessarily highlight all his flaws on the goals that went in, but there were a lot of other moments that Nashville didn't punish that I didn't think he looked particularly good, right? And it was losing the puck in his skates. It was, I thought, losing his net on a bunch of occasions. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I wasn't especially impressed with Nashville's game either, is because I thought they could have really piled it on if they were more clinical on DeSmith. Like, I thought the openings were there for them against Casey DeSmith. They just didn't punish it.
So we talk about this sometimes, but you know, one of Ian Clark's standards for, like, Ian Clark has exacting standards for his goaltenders. And one of your jobs beyond stopping pucks, which is obviously your primary job, is to play in a way that inspires confidence. You need to inspire your team. You need to carry yourself in a way that inspires your team. There was that like Forsberg rush wrist shot. They showed it on the intermission highlights. Forsberg rush wrist shot coming down the right wing, and DeSmith makes the save, no idea where the puck is. And then there was that other one where DeSmith thinks he's got it sort of like in between his blocker arm and his body, and it's literally lying on the ice beside his pad. You know, there was just too many moments where even when he was stopping the puck, he didn't know where it was. He didn't look in, he didn't seem to be in control. And so I would suggest to you that my problem with DeSmith's game wasn't, or where I'd expect the Canucks would be critical of DeSmith's game is not in the saves he made or the saves he didn't, but in the fact that in terms of like, what does this team need, right? What does this team need without Demko? Do they need 918 goaltending? No, right? Do they need better than 880 or whatever goaltending? Yeah. But what they really need is just someone to come in and settle it all down. Come in and play at a level that inspires some confidence. And that's the standard that I just don't think DeSmith really jumped over with his performance last night. That said, and we can do more of this in our open segment.
Yeah.
He needs to start game three. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Power play. Well, what do we want to do? Do we want to do power play? Do we want to do PD here? Probably we should do PD.
Yeah.
That's
Pettersson.
A big time. Okay.
Played badly.
So that was a really bad game for Elias Pettersson.
Okay.
That was a really, really bad game for Elias Pettersson. I've seen the like, oh, he's disinterested out there or uninterested. I don't think that's true. I think he's trying. I think he's trying really hard. That's obviously not enough. That's, the bar is like way, way higher than that. And what I really noticed more than anything was just, who knows if it's confidence, whatever it is, but the processing speed it seems like everything's a beat too slow, right? And people are pointing out, hey, he's passing when he should shoot, or he's shooting when he should pass. I think that's fair. But like, whatever decision you make, there has to be an element of decisiveness to it. And I think that's the thing that I noticed from Pettersson, is when the puck comes to him, maybe shooting's the right call and you pass, or maybe passing's the right call and you shoot, but at least if you do it decisively, if you do it quickly, it keeps the defense on their toes, and it just feels like you can really see the wheels turning in Pettersson's head right now every time he gets the puck, right? And to me, that, like, is there something physical going on? I have absolutely no idea, but what stands out more to me than anything physical is the mental process of it, the confidence, and just the processing time every time he gets the puck.
It doesn't look right, and we'll see. Like, we'll never know until after the season. You know what I mean? When we get the garbage bag day,
yep.
You know, like, orchestra of gruesome player injuries thing. We won't know until then. It doesn't look right to me. It doesn't look right to me. And then, you know, one thing I'd say is, and I don't want to be critical of the coaching staff to this point, because I didn't think Pettersson's level was at the point where he needed, and I don't want to use a word like coddled, but where you needed to, like, design circumstances to help him rebuild his confidence. I didn't think we were there coming into this series. And certainly I didn't think we were there after game one. But I kind of feel like after game two, it's something that you at least have to talk about internally and consider.
Well, I think it's got to be like job one for the coaching staff at this point is figure out whether it's talking to him, whether it's changing the circumstances he's playing in, tactical, whatever it is. Like, job one is reverse whatever happened in game two for Elias Pettersson. That has to be top of the list for the coaching staff.
Well, and I'd add this, if you're not going to have Demko, like,
you need star performances.
You kind of need your star players to win the series.
You need really star performances from Miller, from Hughes, from Pettersson. 100% you do.
And so I just wonder, you know, the way that they're utilizing Pettersson, sort of mixing and matching his line mates, benching Hoglander, he plays with McKay of the next game, Lafferty, it's like, he needs to be able to drive a line, scream legions of fans. But, like, sometimes you can't. Like, sometimes that's not your level. And coming out of last night, I worry that, like, right now that's not Pettersson's level. Which isn't to say that you don't need him. Like, you need him going, and you need to get him going fast. Is there some predictability, some consistency, a way to, you know, I don't know, maybe put like a duo of wingers who we know drive play. Maybe one of them's like a big lefty who crashes the net hard, and one of them's a puck moving righty, and like Pettersson can just get some consistency and kind of just fit in.
Yep. That would probably be the first option I would go to. So obviously we're talking about bump Lindholm out and slide Petey in there.
Yeah,
between Joshua and Garland. I think you have to, right? Like, you have.
He was really poor. He was really poor. Like, yeah, it is what it is. But I really wish, especially in the playoffs, especially when we're talking about, you know, 90 point centermen, superstar level contributors pretty consistently over the course of the last 5 years. You know what I mean? That, like, one playoff loss, this team's first playoff loss, by the way, it's 1-1. It's not 3-1 in the series. They didn't lose both games to Nashville, right? I wish we didn't do this, like, ritualistic pick one person and pretend that it's all their fault. Like, the Canucks as a team played badly. Pettersson was among the players who were the worst defenders given the giveaway and some of the missed opportunities. You never lose a game because one guy's off. Like, there was tons of opportunities for this team to still find a way into this game, or to, you know, get that second goal, and then maybe it's Pettersson who has a chance at redemption with the third. Or, like, you lose as a team, you win as a team. We really got to stop this, like, circular firing squad at one guy after every Canucks loss habit that the city is, like,
well,
nursed over
really,
the past 2 decades.
And I really, like, for me, again, no problem whatsoever heavily criticizing that performance from Elias Pettersson.
Yeah,
that was bad.
Go ahead.
That was really bad. And if we're talking about just, like, what needs to change going into game 3 and 4, he's got to be way, way better than when he was. I do just always, like, when I see it go to, he doesn't care, he's not trying, yada, 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 completely disagree with that. Completely disagree with that. I think Rick Tocchet disagrees with that as well. He said, not specifically about Pettersson, but about his whole team, like, look, guys were trying. It wasn't an effort thing. It was not an effort thing last night.
When and even people who are, like, upset that he got mad after that miss, like, to me, that's kind of what you want.
Well, that's like damned if you do, damned if you don't territory then,
totally.
Right? You know what I mean? It's like, you don't care, and then you're frustrated. It's like, look at his body language. It's like, oh, what do you want?
Yeah.
what do you want?
He
but
was,
anyways.
He was frustrated, and he should have been frustrated.
Of course he was. He played really poorly.
And we talked about this when he struggled during that sort of end of the Travis Green era. The problem with Pettersson is he's so hockey smart, he knows better than we do exactly how poorly he's playing. You know what I mean?
And yep.
I do think that can be tough to get out of, especially when I'm not sure watching him play that he looks 100% right.
All right. We pretty much just did headlines in the whiteboard, but there was so much to get into from that game last night. So we'll wrap up the whiteboard because we got our guy. Maybe we'll get in some of the other sections maybe later on in the show, but we got our guy, Jason Buchla, up next here.
Can I really quickly do one part of it?
Sure.
I just want to do, I'll do both the probability and the gambling odds.
Okay.
Canucks are now -135 to win the series with Demko's injury and the 1-1 series result priced in. They opened at -150. So they're down to about 57% implied probability. That's the gambling odds. Dom's model has them at a lower probability than that, however, 54% to advance at this stage.
So coin flip, basically.
Coin flip territory.
Slightly weighted coin flip. All right, Jason Buchla up next here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.